Today is Thursday, April 18, 2024. This is Quick Start from CBN News. I'm Dan Andros. Caitlin Clark goes number one in the draft, but there's a controversy about her salary. We'll have that top story and more on today's podcast, where we bring you news from a Christian perspective. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating. You can email us, quickstartpodcast@cbn.org. Joining me today to get through the news of the Cray, Trey Garnes Phillips. Trey, we have a lot to get to. What are you looking at in the focus today?
Yeah, so we're going to be looking at Greg Laurie, obviously a mega church pastor based in California. He's responding to the Iran attack against Israel and how he thinks it could fit into the end times and the second coming of Christ.
All right, well, we're looking forward to the details on that coming up in a moment. Also on the main thing, Chuck Holton recently took a dangerous trip into the heart of Burma and checking out the secret hospitals there, where people are risking their lives to help others. Fantastic story from Chuck Holton. We'll have part of that on the main thing today. Don't forget, if you haven't already, to subscribe to all of our CBN News podcasts, including DC Debrief with John Stolness and Newsmakers with our own Billy Hallowell. It's a full-length interview each and every weekday. You can do that in the description of this podcast episode. We've got the links over there. And with that, we're going to head on over to the news here in 90 seconds. Caitlin Clark went number one in the WNBA draft, being selected by the Indiana Fever. But when word got out about her salary, people had some differing opinions. Hoda Kotb called it disturbing that Clark signed a four-year contract with the Indiana Fever for $338,000. That's an average of $84,000 a year. She and others complained that that was low compared to the top pick in the men's 2023 NBA draft, Victor Wembanyama, who got a $55 million deal. Of course, these complaints tend to omit the fact that the NBA makes billions in revenue, while the WNBA makes about $60 million, and much of that is subsidized by the NBA. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Israel will make its own decisions on responding to Iran's unprecedented barrage of aerial strikes over the weekend, most of which were intercepted. It's still unclear how Israel will respond, but the U.S. is expecting the reaction to be limited in scope. That's according to a source from CNN. The U.S. also said it'll impose new sanctions on Tehran. Meanwhile, over a dozen people were injured Wednesday after Hezbollah hit northern Israel with more drones. Those are just some of today's top headlines. Check out more stories over at cbnnews.com. Trey, I wanted to dive into this Caitlin Clark situation, this conversation that's popped up sort of in the wake of her going number one. Caitlin Clark, very popular figure right now, and really putting women's basketball on the map. It hasn't garnered a ton of attention until Caitlin Clark has really drawn the interest outside of their normal walls. And so people were disturbed by this salary. But as I mentioned, it's really just a dollars and cents thing. You can't pay somebody $55 million. That'd be the entire revenue of the league for a year. So some of these complaints don't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, right. At the end of the day, I think all of this is a business. So this is the amount of money that we can pay you based on what you as the right superstar athlete for the WNBA, this is the amount of viewership or the number of viewers that we can guarantee you're likely going to bring in. You're a huge success, but this is the WNBA, for better or worse. It's not really a good or a bad thing. It's just a neutral fact of the matter is that the WNBA brings in a smaller swath of viewers. It's a smaller audience. So you have to, these are all relative numbers and you have to adjust based on the demographic you're targeting. So I think comparing an NBA star to a WNBA star is just comparing apples and oranges. It's not that one's better and one's worse. It's just that you're dealing with two completely different animals.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be like us saying, and look, President Biden weighed in on this, by the way. He said, it's about time that we pay fair share to women. And it's like, she's actually getting a greater share. People broke down the numbers, and when you look at the percentage of total revenue of the NBA, and the average salary of the NBA, and then the total revenue of the WNBA versus the average salary that Caitlin Clark was getting, it's actually higher, like, percentage-wise, based out of the total pool. So,
yeah,
actually, in tech, it'd be like us saying, Trey, like, hey, you know what? Joe Rogan's making, you know, $50 to $100 million a year on his, and he's a podcaster. And we're podcasters too, but I guess they just don't want to pay Christian podcasters as much. Time for our fair share for Christian podcasters. It's like, well, I wish our podcast made $100 million a year, but it currently doesn't. Not yet. Maybe someday. But that's just a dollars and cents thing, right? Like, I can't look at Joe Rogan and say, well, he's doing the same thing as me, therefore I should get paid the same thing. No, it's about the money. If they were making the same revenue, they'd have a case, but they're clearly not.
No. Well, yeah, it's similar to looking back in time and saying when the average household income was, I don't know, say something like $10,000, and then, you know, fast forwarding to today's climate and then trying to apply those financial rules and standards to many, many, many years ago and say, I can't believe how criminal it was that that family was making $10,000 a year. When, you know, in reality, at the time, that was, that may have been a lot of money, or may have been a livable wage. But obviously now that wouldn't be the case. So yeah, I think, and you bring up a good point. I think when you are adjusting for the revenue that each association brings in, that she's getting paid more percentage wise than the highest paid NBA, obviously male athlete. But I think a lot of times, as with many social causes and what people deem civil rights issues, we needn't confuse them with facts. I know that can be confusing for people.
Yep. All right. Well, we're going to move on here because that's a story that it's interesting that people are taking that. It should be. Look, Caitlin Clark's going to make millions of dollars, by the way. She's very popular.
Which is awesome for her. That's
right.
Great.
It's great. And she is lifting the boats on that sport. And that's great. Just celebrate that. But don't turn this into a complaint, because maybe someday people like Caitlin Clark will help make more people go into the WNBA and want to watch the WNBA. And for all the feminists that complain about it, they're the ones that should be filling the arenas at first and foremost. Don't yell at everybody else to do it. If you want people to pay attention, then you go buy the tickets and you go watch instead of watching the Kardashians or whatever else you watch, because there's plenty of women out there that make a gazillion dollars talking about makeup and other things that guys would never be able to make millions of dollars off of. So put your money where your mouth is if you'd like that to be an equal pay situation. But all right, but let's move over to our focus story now. And Greg Laurie is talking about the Iran attack on Israel. And what did he make of it?
Yeah, so just to catch people up, I'm sure most people know at this point, but Iran launched, we did a ton of coverage, Dan. You were kind of leading a lot of the YouTube live streams over the weekend when the whole world kind of woke up to realizing that Iran had been attacking Israel. I think they shot something like 300 missiles, most of which were intercepted by Israel with the help of the U.S. military and then the British military, which is good, but it is a provocation because it marks the first time that Iran has directly attacked Israel and not via proxy. So that's the big deal here that Greg Laurie was hinging his argument on, was saying this is an escalation. This is, in his view, a fulfillment of biblical prophecy, because Iran is directly going after Israel. He said, I do believe the attack of Iran on Israel was a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. He wrote about this on a devotion on his website, harvest.org. He said, a sign of the end times, according to scripture, is the Jewish people will be regathered together in their homeland. That was not just a sign, talking about this attack. He said that was a super sign that he believes now a lot of Jewish people are going to begin to coalesce. They're going to go into their home country, obviously now in this situation, to defend Israel from this onslaught of attacks as Gaza's continued their attack. And then now Iran has kind of joined with Hamas and Gaza directly. Laurie also pointed out that he believes that the moment that the state of Israel was officially reestablished in 1948, that is the moment, he said, that, quote, the prophetic time clock began to tick as it comes to Israel. So he also said that the Bible predicted the rise of anti-Semitism in the end times. He said that's happening. The Bible also predicted that a larger nation north of Israel is going to be attacking Israel as well. So a lot of these things, a lot of these pieces in his mind are starting to fall into place. He did add the caveat, though, that of course this is all speculation. He can't know for a fact. But this is just his educated guess about what may be happening on the biblical timeline.
Well, and he certainly knows a lot about that biblical timeline. How does he think Russia is going to potentially fit into this?
Yes, I mentioned a nation to the north of Israel that was identified in Ezekiel as Magog. That attack has not yet happened, but he said that many biblical scholars and he himself also believe that Magog was a biblical reference to what's now a modern-day Russia. He said, I can't say that again with absolute certainty, but he does believe that Russia will play a major role in ushering in the end times. He said, this we can say with certainty, one of the allies of Russia will be Persia. Persia was the biblical name of Iran. They changed their name in 1935. He went on, therefore, Persia or Iran attacking Israel is predicted in the Bible. And guess what? That has just happened. Certainly interesting, you know, again, this is speculation, but it's educated speculation. As you said, Dan, Greg Laurie is somebody who's spent years and years studying this scripture and also teaching scripture and then speaking with other scholars who study this exclusively. It's interesting and something that I think we should be paying attention to.
Yeah, definitely. No doubt about it. And why do you think this really matters for us? Because, you know, the scripture does too say that we don't know the day, we don't know the hour that the end times are going to be ushered upon us. So what would you think are the big takeaways here for people?
Yeah, I think one big takeaway is to be engaged and to know it's happening, but don't become overwhelmed. I think it's easy to kind of obsess over these things and then to try to look for a sign and everything. And then ultimately, in some situations, in extreme situations, that can become an idol in our life, right? We're not actually worshiping the Lord and we're not actually seeking God. We're seeking these signs and symbols of what's to come. It's good to be informed, but we need to keep it on the right, in the right place in our list of priorities. But I think most importantly, as evangelical believers, I agree with what Greg Laurie said at the end of his blog post about this. He said, Jesus is coming again. God is in control. So let's pray for our friends in Israel. Let's pray for the Jewish people. I think that is the most important thing, is we should always be prepared for the day and the hour that Jesus might return, because we don't know exactly when it is, but we know that it's soon. We know that Jesus is coming soon. So as Christians, our job is to evangelize, to fulfill the Great Commission, to go and tell people about Jesus, to make disciples and baptize them so that they can continue that mission then too, to go and make more disciples. So at the end of the day, I think it's easy to get overwhelmed, but we shouldn't get overwhelmed. We should keep a right, healthy perspective. And really, it should just be encouraging us to not be silent about our faith, to tell people about Christ.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times, too, when the fear comes in, it's a lot of it is we're fearful of the things that we're clinging to here on earth that we don't want to lose, right? Whether even if it's our own families and things like that, we're like, oh, but I like this time I'm having here on earth. And while a lot of those things are good and right and true things, ultimately, we should be longing for Christ's return, not like, you know, not in a way that like we're self-destructive, but just that that's ultimately a good thing when we get to spend eternity with Christ and dwell with the Father in heaven. And so we shouldn't be super, super fearful. It should be one of those things that we also realize that God's will is going to be accomplished, whether we want it to happen at a certain time or not, because of our schedules or whatever we have going on or whatever we hope to accomplish. And that's a hard thing sometimes to let go of some of that stuff, at least as far as an ultimate priority, right? And so to put those spiritual, as you were saying, to put those sort of eternal things up ahead and put them higher on the priority list is something that you see throughout scripture that God is often reminding his people to do. Like, hey, why are you focused on this? Why are you looking at this idol over here? Why are you doing this thing? Focus here. Put your focus on what matters. So I think, kind of as you said, if anything can be taken away from this, it's that we need to be focused on the things of God. We need to have our eyes fixed on Christ. And we don't know the day or the hour. But it does seem, certainly, with some of these things heating up, that, hey, you never know. But like you said, we have to be ready. And our hearts have to be ready for that time. So appreciate you breaking that one down, Trey, and putting that one on the podcast today. All right, we're going to head over to the main thing now. And they're in the midst of a brutal civil war in Myanmar. But there's a hospital hidden in the jungle, and it's providing life-saving care to those who are caught in the crossfire. And CBN News and Chuck Holton visited this secret facility where the volunteer staff is facing constant threats, and they're doing it to help other people. That report is today's main thing.
Here in Myanmar, a long-running conflict between the military rulers and ethnic minorities has intensified. Amidst the chaos, humanitarians known as the Free Burma Rangers provide critical medical care to those in need.
So we've just arrived at a hidden hospital deep in the jungle in Kareni State. The reason it's hidden is because the Burmese army makes a habit of bombing hospitals, even civilian ones. This particular hospital was partially funded by the Free Burma Rangers, and they are doing everything they can to keep it hidden to the point where we had to hike in here for about 15 minutes through the forest instead of driving up here so that they can't find it as well.
Hundreds of people have come here shot and wounded, especially since the coup. Every hospital I know of in Kareni State has been bombed and destroyed, including the hospital this started at.
Before we could finish this interview, two gravely wounded Kareni men were brought in and workers sprang into action.
Hey, we got it. Hey, Joe! You got two wounded here.
No, you can take photo and video.
The all-volunteer staff work under great personal risk to treat the wounded and sick in the midst of war. Among them is Tom Avery, a German surgeon who felt called to use his skills for those in need.
In the recent years, I always had it in my heart, a strong desire to do this type of work. Just couldn't find the right opportunity and also not the right organization for me, which would combine Christian faith and humanitarian work.
Once this bullet or shrapnel or fragment hits the body, this potential, some part of its kinetic energy will be transferred to the body.
After praying and after thinking about it a long time, it just seemed the right fit.
During our visit, enemy scout planes flew over looking for the hospital each day, giving our team a taste of what life is like for civilians here.
The Burma Army has now called in fighter jets, and so I'm taking shelter in this drainage ditch. I can hear the jet right overhead. You all right?
Yeah. You staying here?
Come a little more.
Hey, Chuck.
Yeah.
Lord, please bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Behind us.
Yep. Good job, Chuck. Thank you, Jesus. Help miss again.
There's a growing need for this kind of care as consistent bombing drives more villagers from their homes. Eubanks Group is now helping fund a second hospital, also hidden in the jungle.
So the building you see over there is the female ward. It's donated by the Free Burma Ranger. Last 3 years, I have never imagined that kind of life, living in a jungle and working that kinds of thing every day to save the lives of very difficult.
As the civil war here continues, the Burmese army is losing ground to a united front of militias and defectors, and hospitals like this one are a desperately needed lifeline for the families displaced by the conflict. From the jungles of Burma, I'm Chuck Holton for CBN News.
Christian compassion and boldness to meet so much struggling around the world. Gordon?
Well, you just admire the Eubanks for their courage to go to that area. Many Christians in the United States don't know this, but they're Christian, and they've been Christian for 200 years. They were converted by Adoniram Judson, who went to Burma so long ago. And in this conflict, it is an ethnic conflict. It's also a religious conflict where the Burmese, who are Buddhists, want to drive them out. They want to exterminate them. They've been at this for a long period of time. And the world seems to turn away from it. If you want to talk about genocide, ethnic cleansing, that's exactly what this is. And the Karenni are essentially stateless. They can't, they are in refugee camps along the border with Thailand, but Thailand won't give them papers. They can't get employed. They can't travel. They can't go to another country. They can't do anything. And in this, the world seems to be silent. Let's let our voices be heard. This should not be happening.
All right, Chuck, really appreciate that report. And that was Gordon Robertson with perspective and commentary there at the end, really putting it into context of what is going on there. So appreciate that. And we're going to have time on the podcast today for one last thing.
We're looking at Isaiah 41:10 today. It says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand."
Amen to that. Absolutely. Exactly what we were talking about in the last segment, where our hearts need to be and remembering who is sovereign, who is in control of all things, and just, hey, point people to him and trust that he is working all things together for the good of those who love him. So that's a great spot to leave it on the podcast today. Don't forget to get yourself on over to cbnnews.com and faithwire.com for more news from a Christian perspective. Also email us quickstartpodcast@cbn.org. We'd love to hear from you. All right, Lord willing, that creek don't rise on us. We'll see you back here tomorrow. God bless.